Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. Appreciate so very much those who are visiting with us. We're always happy to have you here. And how wonderful that we can begin this lovely fall day worshiping God and singing praises to His name. It's good to have everyone here. I'd like you to think, if you will, for a few moments about the events that are recorded in Matthew chapter 16. These are the events when Jesus is at the point in His ministry when He begins to inform His disciples of His ultimate fate when they arrive at Jerusalem. This is really all in the general period of time where Jesus' ministry had reached its zenith. It's the general period of time of the transfiguration of Jesus, where His disciples see Him and His regal glory. And yet it also is the period of time where Jesus is very well aware of the fact that in only a very few short months, He's going to be arriving at Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested by the authorities. He's going to be scourged and crucified. And then on the third day, He knew He would rise again. But that resurrection in all of its glory was going to be preceded by His suffering death. And that was something that Jesus began to inform His disciples about. You read about that in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 21. And it is on this particular occasion when Jesus begins to inform His disciples about the fate that awaits Him at Jerusalem that Peter rebukes Him. Peter chastises Him for what He says. The roles are reversed. Peter is rebuking his Lord. You read about it beginning in verse 21. Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and be killed and be raised on the third day. Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Isn't this a stunning narrative? I mean, here's Peter, and can't you empathize with him? Peter doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the ultimate mission of Jesus. And here Jesus is talking about arriving in Jerusalem and being arrested and killed, and Peter doesn't even really hear the resurrection on the third day part, apparently. And he's absolutely just interpreting Jesus as somehow having a defeatist kind of attitude, and this is not what he needs to be thinking. He's not going to fail. The authorities are not going to be able to kill him. He's not going to be rejected by his people. All those things are not going to happen. And Peter feels so strongly about that that the text says he rebukes Jesus for that pessimistic attitude. "Don't say that, Lord. God forbid that to ever happen." And the response of Jesus is really stunning, especially when you understand the relationship that Jesus has with Peter. Peter is not a bad person. Peter is not one of the Pharisees. Peter is not one of the enemies of Jesus. In fact, Peter is that apostle who had spoken up on behalf of the 12 apostles just a few verses earlier and had made the confession, I think really on behalf of all of them, "We believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. That's who we know you are, Jesus." And Jesus on that occasion had really, by implication, commended Peter, and had even said on that occasion that indeed he would have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and that that confession that he uttered would be that bedrock upon which his entire church was built. And so Peter had certainly been someone who had received the praise of the Lord. He was someone who was one of Jesus' closest companions in this world. You read about the three disciples whom Jesus was closer to than any others: Peter, James and John. And so it's Peter that the text says Jesus turns and looks at and says those words, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." Those words must have hurt Peter, don't you think? Don't you think that was not the reaction that Peter would have thought that he would have gotten from the Lord? And don't you think that that would have maybe hurt his feelings, hurt his pride, hurt him emotionally in some way? Yet Jesus still said it to him. And in fact, the language that Jesus is using is language that you would think Jesus would be using towards someone who was his enemy, towards someone who maybe was a Pharisee, like so many of those Pharisees and Sadducees who were opposing Jesus. He uses this term, Satan, to refer to him. Can you imagine a stronger term of derogation than that? Satan? That name that the book of Job in the Old Testament had given to that adversary of God, an adversary of God's people, Satan? That's whom I'm resembling in your eyes, Jesus. You regard me as Satan. You regard me as someone who is your enemy, who is your opponent. And Jesus did not use that designation lightly. It's not that Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And then he stopped and paused and thought about it and said, well, you know, I shouldn't have said that, Peter. Listen, I'm sorry. No, Jesus used that terminology with forethought and advisedly. And he said, that's who you're acting like to me. You're becoming my adversary, just like Satan is the adversary of God and Satan is the adversary of God's people. You, Peter, are my adversary right now. You are a problem to me. I want to ask you the question this morning, why is it that Jesus would have spoken to one of his closest companions, closest apostles, in this way? And what we need to understand first and foremost is Jesus needed to say this to Peter because of the personal fact that Peter was acting like his adversary. You see, this idea of Jesus coming to Jerusalem and being rejected by his people and being arrested and slain by being crucified, that was something that Jesus knew was his ultimate fate. He knew that was the mission that God had put him on. He knew that was the goal. And yet he viewed that with tremendous trepidation. You see that in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before it all is going to transpire. And just the emotion that Jesus displays on that occasion where it just all culminates. But that emotion and that fear and that desire that this cup would be a cup that God would not make him drink, all of that, it's beginning right now as Jesus, a few months before his ultimate crucifixion, is informing his disciples that this is where we're going ultimately to Jerusalem, and that's where all these things are going to happen to me. And Jesus was looking at that with great trepidation. And yet it was going to be the time when Jesus would have to be at his strongest because his own personal fight with Satan and with temptation and all of that to do God's will in the time of that greatest trial, that's the strength that Jesus needed. And here was Peter saying to him, "Oh Lord, that isn't going to happen. Stop talking like that, Lord." Jesus didn't need Peter or any of those disciples trying to talk him out of going to the cross. It was difficult enough to make himself go to that cross. And ultimately, it would be Jesus making himself go. It would not be the bindings of the soldiers that would take him to that cross. It would be Jesus' own will, his own choice, because he had absolute power to just refuse and not do what God wanted. Jesus was absolutely going to screw up all of his courage and do what God wanted, no matter how difficult it was. And yet here is Peter now saying to him, Lord, it's not going to happen. And Jesus said to Peter with great accuracy, get behind me, Satan. That's exactly how you're acting as far as I'm concerned. To me, you are my adversary. And he said, I want you to get behind me, Satan. I want you to think for a moment about that image that Jesus is calling to mind. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. See, the imagery, it seems to me, is that of Jesus saying, this is the road I'm on. This is my path. Here is my trek, and its termination point is going to be Calvary. And here is Peter as a stone in the middle of the road, as a stumbling block, as an impediment. You're an impediment, you're an obstacle to me on this road, Peter. I need to go around you. I need you to be behind me. Because you are preventing me with that kind of attitude, setting your mind not upon God's interest but on man's. You are preventing me and hindering me from doing the kind of thing I need to be doing and walking down this road the way I need to be walking. You need to be behind me. Because if you're going to have that attitude, you're a hindrance. You're a stumbling block. You're not a help. And that's what Jesus says to him. And why did Jesus use that kind of harsh language? First of all, I submit to you that Jesus used that kind of harsh language to Peter because that's exactly what Peter was being on that occasion. And if it continued, he absolutely would be a reason why the Lord might stumble in walking down that path and being hindered, therefore, from carrying out his mission. Though Jesus needed his disciples to be accepting what Jesus was saying the plan of God was, not trying to hinder Jesus from all of that. And so when we think about that and try to make some application to ourselves, may I suggest this to you, brethren? There are some stumbling blocks in the middle of our path, as we try to walk our road. There are some stumbling blocks that we encounter. And just like on this occasion with Jesus, where the stumbling block that Jesus was impeded by was, of all people, one of his closest companions. Sometimes the stumbling block for us are the people that we're the closest to in this world. Sometimes they could become our stumbling block. And what we need to recognize is that if we're going to be disciples of Jesus and really emulate him, really follow him down this road, then we need to understand that there are going to be times where those people whom we are the closest to of all in this world are actually going to be an impediment to us in serving the Lord and doing what is right. Now, what's our attitude going to be about that? How are we going to handle that? Jesus didn't make any bones about it with Peter. He didn't allow the closeness of his relationship with Peter to prevent him from saying to Peter exactly what needed to be said. He said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't being cruel. He wasn't trying to just hurt Peter's feelings. He wasn't just angry and so he lashed out. It wasn't that. He was telling the absolute truth and saying what needed to be said. Peter, I need you to be behind me because you're blocking my way. And that's the way it is with some of the people that we encounter, that we're close to, our friends, our companions. Do you have some people that you're very, very close to that are a stumbling block to you, that are impeding you from walking the path that you need to walk? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, here's what the Apostle Peter, years later, would write, these words.
He said, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. You have some friends like that, you young people at school, you have some friends like that, that if you're not going to be continuing to run with them and their crowd and do those things that would be wrong, that would be immoral, that everybody else is doing, if you suddenly say, I'm not going to be doing that, that they're going to be trying to encourage you to then do those things that are wrong. And if you're somehow doing those things that are right now that you are a Christian, do they look down upon you? Do they malign you? Do they talk about you behind your back? Is that what you're concerned about? Well, what you need to understand is you've got some friends then that are right there in your path, and they're an impediment to you. Now, what's your attitude going to be? What you need to tell them is, get behind me, Satan. You're in my way. If that's the kind of friend you're going to be, if that's going to be your attitude, then you're an obstacle to me. And I need to bypass you. I need you behind me, not in front of me, because you're impeding me on the course that I need to take. That may be what you need to have as your attitude about some of those friends that you have. And it's not just the young people either. It's those people that we are friends with, no matter how old we are, and somebody says, well, but these are people that I'm so close with. Are you any closer with those people than Jesus was to Peter? And yet on this occasion, and as long as Peter had this kind of attitude, he was an absolute stumbling block to Jesus. And Jesus was not going to just act like that was not true. For his own sake, he couldn't act like it wasn't true. Peter was an obstacle to him. You have friends that are an obstacle to you? Are they trying to get you to engage in things that are a stumbling block to you? Try to lead you into doing those things that are wrong, that are tempting, that are desirable, and yet they're absolutely opposed to everything that the path of Jesus is talking about? And you need to bypass those stumbling blocks, and any person who is trying to impede you and encourage you to do those things that are wrong, you need to have the courage to say to them what Jesus said to Peter, get behind me. You are not someone who's helping me in walking the path that I need to be walking. And I tell you what that may take, and I say this to young and old, no matter how old you may be or young you may be, and to whomever this may apply, it may be that that person that you call boyfriend or girlfriend isn't good for you. Do you have the courage to admit that if it's true? I don't know if it's true. I'm not trying to make that judgment. But do you have the courage, like Jesus had the courage, to admit if the person that you're dating, the person that you call boyfriend or girlfriend, is really a stumbling block to you? But I love them, but I'm close with them. Okay, I understand that. But that didn't change the fact that Jesus had nothing but love in his heart for Peter, yet it was the truth, the impediment that Peter was being to him. And that may be what you just have to recognize and accept. Sometimes the people that we need to cast behind us are family members. Our family members. Again, I'm not suggesting here that you be disrespectful to your family members who are an impediment to you. But what you may need to recognize is that those people who are part of your earthly family, they may be an impediment to you. They may be a stumbling block to you and are not encouraging you in your Christian walk, but instead are discouraging you in that. Now, what are you going to do about it? You're going to have the attitude of Jesus and say, get behind me, Satan. Yes, in this you are my adversary. You're going to have the courage to acknowledge that that's the case and therefore not allow your family tie, that connection, to then be the stumbling block to you? That's going to be the choice that you're going to have to make. And I tell you what, sometimes what we need to realize is this. Sometimes those people who are the stumbling blocks to us, they need to hear us say that to them. Just like Jesus said it to Peter. Here's what I mean. I said one reason why Jesus said this to Peter, as harsh as it was for Peter to hear, one reason why Jesus said it is for his own sake. Jesus needed to acknowledge this. You are an impediment to me, Peter. The way you're acting, it's a stumbling block to me. One reason Jesus said it was because of his own benefit, his own need, his own necessity. But a second reason why Jesus said this to Peter is for Peter's benefit. He needed to hear the Lord say that to him. And it may very well be that what your friends or your girlfriend or boyfriend or your family member needs to hear you say is, you're not helping me. You're being a temptation to me to do those things that are wrong. And it's not just that you need to say that to them for your benefit. It may just be they need to hear you say those words. Let me ask you a question. Was Peter made better by Jesus saying these words to him on this occasion? Learning from Jesus the truth that he was not helping his Lord and friend, but instead he was an obstacle to him. Did that benefit Peter to have those harsh words said to him? You betcha. You betcha. Do you know why? Because Peter cared so much about the Lord. And that really had been what had motivated Peter from the very beginning. He cared so much about the Lord, and what the Lord thought about him meant so much to Peter that those words of Jesus, harsh though they may have been, had an impact upon Peter and helped him ultimately. It took a while, but ultimately to turn things around and get on the same page with Jesus. As I said, it took a while. But ultimately, those words of Jesus helped him. May I suggest this to you? Those friends and those family members who are maybe an obstacle to you, not in some way of disrespect, but nevertheless, respectfully talking with them and saying to them, you're not helping me if you care about me. If you care about me at all. The way you're acting toward me and the way our relationship is, it's an impediment. It's an obstacle. Maybe they need to hear that. And if they really do care about you, don't you think it'll have an impact on them for good? In fact, maybe that's what a lot of our friends and family members need to hear from us. Maybe they just need to hear us have the courage to take a stand and say, the way you're acting is not helpful. Are there some spouses who need to hear that from a fellow spouse? Could it be that our own spouse sometimes is really an obstacle to our Christianity because our spouse is not living as a Christian, maybe claiming to be a Christian, but not really living as a Christian? Is that the problem that we have? Sometimes that's the reality. That's the sad reality. Sometimes what's preventing us from being that kind of strong Christian is we have a spouse that frankly doesn't want to get up and go to church. It's too much trouble, and so the spouse is so quick to come up with the excuse. And it makes it so much harder for us then, if that's the spouse that we have, for us to be strong, and so we kind of just acquiesce and we go along. And you know what the problem is? You need to say to your spouse, get behind me, Satan. You're an impediment to me in this. I love you. You're my spouse. I care about you. But just like Jesus had to say to Peter, for Peter's own benefit as well as Jesus' benefit, you're an obstacle. Maybe that's what your spouse needs to hear from you. I'll tell you another reason why Jesus said these words that he said. It's revealed to us not in Matthew's account, but in Mark's account of the same incident. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 31, it says that Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Notice what Mark adds. But turning around and seeing his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Think about that for a minute. Turning around and seeing the disciples. Why did Jesus say these harsh words to Peter? One, because he needed to say them for his own benefit, his own sake. Secondly, Peter needed to hear those words. But thirdly, Jesus looked at those disciples. The text doesn't elaborate. I don't know if the disciples were in earshot of all this. The text says that Peter had taken the Lord aside privately. You kind of get the impression this is more of a private conversation that Peter is having with Jesus. I don't know if then Jesus said his response to Peter so the disciples could hear it, or if what the text is talking about is that Jesus is just looking at those disciples and recognizing that Peter is not simply an obstacle to me, he's going to be an obstacle to them too. This attitude of not setting your interests upon God's interests, but instead upon man. That kind of attitude Peter had was something that was pervasive, and it would affect the other disciples. And they would have that same kind of attitude, and that would mean that they would be an obstacle to Jesus and to one another. And that was part of the reason why Jesus said these words to Peter. Lest Peter be an obstacle to those other disciples too, or lest this situation go unresolved and it just be a negative thing for all those other disciples. Is there an application for us in all that? Those people that are a stumbling block to you or to me in our life, those people that, yeah, maybe the time has come for a conversation to just say to them, you know, and you don't have to use the word stumbling block or use this language if you don't want to. Make that judgment. But at least say to them, you're not helping me. Maybe it's not just for the benefit of those people that you need to say those words, and not just for your own sake to say those words. Think about the other people around you who maybe are going to be negatively influenced, and maybe already have been negatively influenced, if you just sit back and say nothing, if you allow the obstacle to continue. You know, maybe that group of friends that you have, maybe what is needed is for you to have enough courage to say to somebody, you're not helping me live as a Christian. I want to live as a Christian. You're not helping me do that. So I'm going to go around you. I have to. Maybe that would not only motivate that person, if he really or she really cares about you, to then maybe at least stop being an obstacle to you, maybe even ultimately have an interest in finding out about this Christianity stuff that is so important to you, but at least not be an obstacle. Maybe it might also then have an impact upon your other friends in the group. You think maybe? What a marvelous impact that could have. But then if you just sit back and say nothing, like if Jesus had sat back on this occasion and just said nothing and allowed Peter with that kind of misguided attitude to go on and just to permeate the rest of the disciples group, look at the negative impact in all that. Jesus wanted to stop it right here and now. Maybe that's what you need to do.
Maybe that's what your group needs, is for you as somebody who can be strong enough to take a stand for the Lord and just say, listen, I don't want you to be an obstacle to me. I'm going to ask you to not be that. But if you're going to keep being this way, then get behind me. I'm passing you by. Maybe those people that you think care about you, if they really do care about you, maybe it'll be really beneficial for them to hear that and hear how important Jesus and serving Him and walking this path that Jesus really is. Maybe that's what you need. And maybe that's what they need. Your friends, your family members, for their benefit and for the benefit of others around all of you. Maybe that's why you need to emulate Jesus and say, in effect, get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me. I said a moment ago, I talked about spouses sometimes need to hear us say that to them. If you don't address it, if you just keep going and allow this spouse to be an obstacle, an impediment in your path, who's going to be ultimately harmed besides just you? Your kids. Because you're not addressing a problem that is there. You're not handling this in a good way. And your kids are ultimately going to be the ones who will suffer as a result of that. Jesus turned and looked at the other disciples. And that's part of what prompted him to speak up and say to Peter what Peter needed to hear for the benefit of all those disciples, lest they be negatively affected. Is that true of us? I tried to speak this morning, brethren, about some very simple things, but some things that have absolute application to us in our everyday life. And we are so fearful of confronting anybody. I think it's a cultural thing. We're absolutely afraid to confront, maybe not the people we don't know, we'll confront them. But we're absolutely scared to death to ever confront people whom we're close with, whom we love, who love us. We're as scared as we can be to address some situation that needs to be addressed. Thank the Lord, He was not scared to say to Peter what needed to be said. For Jesus' sake, for Peter's sake, and for the other disciples' sake. We need to be like the Lord and say the things that need to be said when maybe there are people we're close with that are impeding us. Maybe that's what we need to say, and that's what they need to hear us say. What do you think? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we sure would love to encourage you to become one. Jesus is so challenging. He challenges us constantly, even with the things that He teaches us by implication in this material we've looked at today. But it's always a good challenge. It's always the kind of challenge where, after we've gone through that, we realize how beneficial it is for Jesus to have challenged us. And we're appreciative that Jesus didn't just teach these things, He practiced them Himself. So if there's someone here this morning who needs to respond to the Lord and be His disciple, we'd love to help you do that. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement?